I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter rest because of unbelief. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our dear God and Father, we thank you for your word, that we can read it, we can study it, and we know, Lord, that you speak to us from it. Today, as to this evening, as we look at a comparison between our Lord Jesus Christ and Moses, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to have a new vision of what this means, what our Lord Jesus Christ is to us. We pray that you will speak to us from your word, and may everything that is said be according to your will and be guided by you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure if I asked each person individually in this room who was greater, Christ or Moses, I'd get the same answer from everyone. We have been brought up in a Christian faith where we know very well that Christ is greater than Moses. So my job tonight is to convince you that Christ is greater than Moses. And you already, I'm sure, are convinced of that. So we're going to look at a comparison between Moses and Christ and just see the similarities and the differences. And if you were living back in the days of when this book was written, you were a Hebrew and being brought up in Judaism to to know something about Moses, to know something about the characters in the Old Testament, I'm sure that you would feel differently than you do today because of that difference that you were brought up in Judaism as opposed to being brought up in Christianity. And if we pretend that we're, for a few minutes, that we are a Hebrew Christian, someone who has just been saved out of Judaism, then we might look back in the Old Testament, and if I try and do that, I see three men in the Old Testament who stand out above all the others. There was Abraham, who was the father of our nation, the Israel nation. And then there was Moses, the great deliverer, who brought Israel out of captivity, the captivity of Egypt. And then finally there was David, who was the king who brought Israel closer to possessing the promised land, probably than anyone else, and still served God. There was Solomon, but Solomon fell away from God partway through his life. David is still revered by Palestinians or by Israelis today. I saw something in the news in the last month or two where someone had criticized David and was taken to task for it. Anyway, today we're going to look at Moses and look at Christ and see a comparison. So Moses was one of the greatest men in all of Israel's history, perhaps the greatest other than Christ himself. And as we look and think about, try and put yourself in a position of a Hebrew, and someone is trying to tell you that a man has come along who lived just years before, and they're trying to tell you that he's greater than this Moses who was so great in the eyes of Israel. It's almost too much to believe for a Hebrew that anyone could come along and be greater than Moses. But in our verses here, in verse 1, it tells us that we are to consider Jesus, the apostle and the great high priest of our confession. What is an apostle? An apostle is one who is sent from God with a message. And what is a high priest? A high priest is one who intercedes for people to God. So someone, matter of fact, William MacDonald, in his commentary, has suggested that in confessing Christ as an apostle, we mean that he represents God to us. In confessing Christ as a high priest, he represents us to God. So one is bringing God's message to us, the other is our message, if you like, or our failures, perhaps, to God. And this is something we're going to look at in our Lord Jesus Christ. As far as Christ as a high priest, when we get into chapters 7, 8, and 9, it goes into a lot more detail about the priesthood of Christ. It compares Christ with Melchizedek and with the priestly order, and we'll wait until we get there before we get into it. But Christ was the high priest who not only presented the offering to God for our sins, but he was the offering. He was the sacrifice for our sins. And I think everybody in this room knows very well the gospel and how the Lord Jesus Christ saved us. As Moses took the children of Israel out of the land of Canaan, out of slavery, so the Lord Jesus Christ has taken us from the slavery of sin and brought us to a new life in Him, a new life through His, through the shedding of His blood on Calvary. But as we go on and look at this comparison between Moses and our Lord, it's interesting to see how many things that can be compared between Moses and Christ. Not things that are necessarily mentioned in this chapter, but I've taken down a few of them, and it's just interesting to see the comparison. To start off, then, both Moses and Christ were born for a particular purpose. Moses was born. I'm sure God had a plan for him before he was born, that he would lead his people out of the captivity of Egypt. And Christ, of course, was born so that he might lead us, that he might die and save us from a lost eternity. And in looking at that, I can't help but think that you have a plan. God has a plan for your life too. He has a plan for my life. Without going into the details of that plan, perhaps each one of you know what that plan is or know something of that plan. We don't know all of it, but we should be seeking the Lord's will for our lives to make sure that we are in that plan that He has. Moses trained for his vocation, if you like. God put him through an education process in Egypt. Then He put him through an education process out in the wilderness, and He brought him back to Egypt, probably as a reluctant leader at first. He didn't like the idea of doing this. When we read the chapter concerning his call at the burning bush, he was a reluctant leader and wasn't willing to go at first, but God showed him the necessity of him doing that, and he went to be that. Sometimes God tries to lead us, and we're reluctant to do what He wants us to do. The second comparison I have written down here is that both Moses and Christ, as a baby, their lives were threatened by an evil king. In the case of Moses, and Pharaoh had decreed that all the baby boys in Egypt should be thrown into the Nile River and killed. In the case of, and in his case, and his mother saw that, according to my version in the verses that Brent read, it says his mother saw that he was a beautiful baby. Now, I don't know any mother that doesn't have a beautiful baby. But Jochebed saw that he was a beautiful baby and kept him alive and hid him for some time, and then made a basket, a waterproof basket, and put him in the Nile River, where the princess, Pharaoh's daughter, was coming to wash, and the baby was taken home with her and kept alive and grew up in Pharaoh's court, receiving a probably as good an education as there was in that day. In the case of Christ, you'll remember that Herod made a decree that all the babies in Bethlehem under 2 years of age should be killed. And God warned his earthly father Joseph, in a dream that he should flee from Bethlehem and go to Egypt. So there's a comparison there in the two. Some less known comparisons are that they both fasted for 40 days. When Moses was up in the mountain receiving the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, we're told in Exodus 34 and 28 that he fasted for 40 days. And we know that Christ fasted for 40 days during his temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Another comparison is that they both exercised power over the sea. You recall that when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army came after them. God told Moses to raise his rod over the Red Sea, and he did that, and it was a pathway, dry ground under where the water had been moments before, and Israel passed through. And of course, we know that Christ calmed the sea, and when he said, "Peace be still," in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. Then they both fed a multitude. In case of Moses, he, with God's power, and this is all, Moses did everything with God's power, of course, brought down manna for the Israelites day after day. And of course, Christ fed 5,000, probably 10,000, because there were 5,000 men besides women and children. with five barley loaves and two fish in John chapter 6. Both were recorded as having radiant faces. When Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets of stone, his face shone, and he had to put a veil over it. And when Christ came down from the mountain, or when Christ was on the mountain of transfiguration, his face shone, we're told in Matthew 17. Both of them were discredited by their siblings. In the case of Moses, Aaron and Miriam challenged his authority. In the case of Christ, his brothers jeered him and made fun of him in John chapter 7. Probably more interestingly, both of them were great intercessors. You remember that Moses, when the children of Israel had sinned in worshiping the golden calf, he interceded for them and he said, "Take my life. If you're going to kill them, take my life instead." And Christ, of course, interceded for his disciples in John chapter 17. And even today, he's interceding for us. We're told in 1 John chapter 2, he's our advocate, interceding for us, and will be. He's always there. He's ready to intercede for us. Both of these men, both Moses and Christ, established a memorial. Moses established, God through Moses established the memorial of the Passover feast, as a memorial to the salvation of the Israelites from the land of Egypt. And in the case of Christ, he established the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, which we observe each week, and found in Luke chapter 22. And the final one that I have down here is that they both appeared on earth after their physical death. Moses, you'll recall, came down on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 to meet with Christ. He and Elijah met with Christ. And, of course, in the case of Christ, he had many appearances after his resurrection. I'm sure that if you went through your Bible and checked the life of Moses, you would find other similarities. The one that my wife brings up is that both of them had a Gentile bride. Christ's bride is the church, a Gentile bride, and Moses' wife was of the Midian nation. So they both had a Gentile bride, and you can probably find other comparisons as well. But when we see these comparisons, we have to realize that anything that Moses did, just like we said about the verses say about the builder, anything Moses did, he was just an instrument in God's hand. whereas Christ is God himself. If we look at the contrast between Moses and Christ in the verses that we've read, verses 2 through 6, there's some interesting contrast. In the case of Moses, we're told that he was a servant, and as a servant, he was faithful in all of God's house. This goes back to Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7. This is the incident where Aaron and Miriam challenged his authority, and God came down in the cloud and spoke to Aaron and Miriam directly, rather than through Moses in this case, and told them that though God speaks to prophets through visions and through dreams, he spoke to Moses. He says, "Not so my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face." Moses was close enough to God that he spoke to, God said that he spoke to him face to face. There are a few people in the Bible this is spoken, said of, that they spoke to God face to face. Apart from those who talked with our Lord while he was on earth. And in the case, this case, and God commended Moses and made sure they knew that Moses had the authority, the God's authority behind him, whereas they punished Aaron and Miriam. Miriam became a leper for a period of time. In contrast to this, Moses was a faithful servant. In contrast to this, we find Christ was faithful as the Son of God. He was faithful over his house. Christ was actually the builder, the creator of all things. The builder of all things is God, is Christ. And we find that all of us, all of everything we know was created by Christ. And the comparison is made that Christ even created Moses, if you like. And so we can compare the person who is building the house with the material that is being built. And there's no comparison, really, when we look at the difference between the builder and the material that is built. And that, of course, was the case of Moses. And he was a servant, and he was empowered by God. Moses' ministry was typical of, or prophetic of Christ. And it told of the truth and the blessings that would follow through Christ. Moses actually prophesied that Christ would come in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Moses was able, under God's power, to bring the children of Israel out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt. And he brought them right to the edge of Canaan, but he wasn't able to bring them into the promised land. Whereas our Lord Jesus Christ not only brings us out of captivity, the captivity of slavery, sin of slavery, but he brings us into a new relationship with God. We become children of God. So that is another contrast. And another contrast not mentioned in this chapter, but one that is very meaningful, is in John chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." The law was given through Moses. What was the law? The law in no way displayed grace. It commanded men to obey, and if they didn't obey, it condemned them. It told what was right, but it didn't give them the power to fulfill what was right. The law was a standard that God set up in order to show us, to show Israel that they were sinners in God's sight. And it couldn't save from the penalty of sin. The law couldn't save. It was simply a yardstick, if we like, a standard set to show what was sin and what wasn't. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We're told that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. That means he came and he obeyed the law totally. He was the perfect Son of God, and he came as a man to live a perfect life, and so he fulfilled the law of God. We're told that he didn't come to judge the world, but rather he came to save sinners by grace. God's richest at Christ's expense, or heaven's best for earth's worst. But though Christ was full of grace, he was also absolutely truthful. He says he was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. He was absolutely truthful. John 14 and 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't show grace at the expense of truth. He knew that truth was there, and he knew that we were sinners. And although he loved sinners, he hated sin. Although he loved sinners and didn't want to have to punish sinners, he knew that a punishment was necessary because it says that the wages of sin is death. There was punishment necessary. And so he himself went to Calvary to take that punishment, to bear the penalty for our sins, and to show undeserved kindness, which is grace, to all who would come to him in true faith and trust in Christ for Christ's atoning work on Calvary. This is grace in action. So in summary, we see Moses was certainly a faithful servant. His faithfulness brought glory to God. He was an outstanding man. He was a revered person in Israel. And because of this, he was recognized by God. He was recognized by God as a faithful servant. God was willing to speak to him face to face. Matter of fact, his name is mentioned over 700 times throughout the Bible. And in every section of the scriptures, you'll find Moses talked about. Moses was part of God's plan for this universe, part of God's plan for Israel. And we find he was the center in many ways of their history. He brought the house of Israel from ruin. When he came into the picture, Israel was in ruin. They were slaves in Egypt. And when he left the scene and went to be with God, he left them in a state where they were ready to go into the land of Canaan in victory. He was a great person. We would say that was a success story. But he was a servant. He wasn't the son. Moses wasn't sinless. He wasn't perfect. He couldn't make atonement for the people. And they just had to, sacrificed lambs and oxen to take away sin, to hide sin for a period, and awaiting the real Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, as the Son of God, was in every way superior to Moses, just as the builder is superior to the material he uses. There's no real comparison, is there? Everything Moses was, he was because God made him that way. whereas Christ was the Son of God. And you know, this idea of having a plan for his life, we too can be a servant as Moses was, and we can follow him. And if we were to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow God's word as Moses did, I'm sure we would find a difference in our lives. We would find a difference in this fellowship here at Rita View if we were faithfully doing this. But as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our purpose tonight, to see how much greater he is than Moses, than any servant, any possible comparison of man, there's just no comparison whatsoever, because he was a son. And because of this, God has said, therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And so what our message tonight is, that we should consider Jesus. We should look in the Word and compare him with others and see how much greater he is. And we can't help, when we look at him, to say, what a Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. And to think that one who is so great loves us, and we can have fellowship with him day by day, talk to him directly. We can talk to him directly as Moses talked face to face. We can talk to God in prayer. Do we take advantage of these things? What a Savior we have. Shall we just bow in a word of prayer? Father, we come before you and thank and praise you for such a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about our subject tonight, we can't help but think how much greater Moses was than anything we can even think of or contemplate. Lord, we thank you that our Savior was so great, and yet, though he was rich beyond all compare, yet for our sakes he became poor. He became poor and went to Calvary and gave his life. He was despised and rejected of men, and yet he loved us and was willing to go and die for us. And we praise you for that, Lord, and we would ask that you will help us to have a new appreciation of that, of our Savior, of the love that he has for us. Just help us to appreciate him enough that we will give our lives to him, and we will allow him to work through us, and we will have fellowship with him day by day and moment by moment. Be with us, Lord, and help us to this end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.